Well, it's good to be in Chicago. As I said, this is my second visit here.
We flew in on the plane and flew back again. I have to be honest and tell you, I wasn't very happy with the boss about that. I said, what is going on? And my wife said, don't worry about it. So I said, well, it's okay to say don't worry about it, but you know, I planned it all so we'd be here a day early. There was a reason I felt God said be here a day early than before the conference started. And as I said to the pilot, who we actually eventually talked to that night, we ended up going back to the hotel where Air New Zealand put us up in, and I said, I'm quite used to dramas with planes, but it's normally getting pot shots from rebels as we fly over and, you know, trying to shoot you down and all sorts of stuff like that. But, you know, to come in a, you know, an airport and it's foggy, you can't land, I'm not really used to that, you know. When we fly with MAF, they land anywhere. And I mean anywhere in Africa. Well, wherever's a strip, they get you there. It doesn't matter what other conditions. But I thank you, Graham, for allowing me. I know I wasn't down scheduled to share anything today, but I just want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Just mainly so you know who I am and where I'm coming from, because I find, you know, when you come to a convention like this, and I really believe I'm going to be able to, or the Lord will use me to impart to each and every one of us. And but I just want to share my little bit of my heart and also bring greetings. So I'm going to just, I only want to speak very briefly, and then our brother wants to come and is going to share. But I want to thank Graham and Lana, the National Board, for allowing me to come, and my dear wife Lorna. In actual fact, I think it's probably the first time I've travelled with my wife overseas, we've actually ministering together. As normally she's at home and I'm normally the one going away. So I really appreciate the invitation to come. Thank you very much, and to your men. And I bring greetings from President Bill Scrow, who you know, Bill, and Joy, dear friends of ours. And they send their love and greetings, and they'll be back. That's what they said, Graham. It's all the boys in New Zealand. We will be back. All right? They love this place. And I noticed a couple of things what I want to share. One of them was, I noticed on the convention theme, Graham, when I look, was come and join the winning team. Come and join the winning team. The what's? Oh, okay, right. But that's what it said on the brochure. All right, and I wanted to share a couple of thoughts about that in a minute. But two things before I do that. I've been born again for in the ministry of 25 years. Basically, from the day I gave my life to Christ, I was one of those guys who put my hand up and said, "Lord, send me." And mind you, when I was in Africa, I said, I didn't mean this place. Right? New Zealand, no problem, right? But 25 years of serving the Lord, and I've learned to be at the right place, at the right time, with the right people. Let me reiterate that. And that's why I wrote it down. I don't normally use notes, as you'll find out later. I want to be at the right place, at the right time, with the right people. I knew the first two things of that, or two statements there. But the third one with the right people, the Lord just has really laid upon my heart the last two or three years as I've travelled to make sure you're with the right people. Can I suggest, gentlemen, at this convention, you are at the right place, at the right time, with the right people. And I am so convinced of that. Just hearing the men share, you shared beautifully this morning. This is one of the unique things. Oh, my notes already gone out the window, I can see that. One of the unique things about this fellowship is that we have so much wonderful anointed talent in this fellowship. And as the men came up and shared this morning, I knew I was in the right time, the right place, with the right people. And I'm going to get to share maybe a little bit one-on-one with hopefully a lot of you over the next few days, and I would love to do that. But more importantly, you know, I would love that we were able to minister one to another, because I'm here to be ministered to. You know, the Lord has prepared me to be here, but I'm here to be ministered to as well. Because as we know, as we minister and give out, then we receive. I've already received this morning. I want to also say this to you this morning, or this afternoon. 25 years of conventions and meetings, and I've been to a lot. And I dare say you've been to a lot. But I've learned this. Without the anointing, we can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. We can run some great meetings. We can put on some good programs. We can do some things. But we don't even scratch the surface. Is that right, Colin? We don't even scratch the surface. Without the anointing, we can do nothing. And I'm going to share a little bit over the next few days of some of the places where I've ended up to and what I've done, and I'm sure you would have as well. But we've ended up in some pretty amazing places around the globe. But I tell you something. I'm known in Australia, I suppose, as a guy that takes a lot of chances or go to a lot of stupid places, but I know what I'm called to do, and I know what I'm anointed to do, and if I don't get a clear word to go to anywhere, I don't go. I don't care whether it's to New Zealand, by the way, right? Because, you know, I know where I'm meant to be. And I say that, you know, I'm not trying to be proud or smart, right? I want to also say this to you men. The last couple of years, the Lord has been really impacting upon me or impressing upon me to actually find out who I am in Christ. You see, we have a lot of people in the kingdom today that have got identity problems. They don't know who they are. They're lost. They're running around doing a lot of things, doing good things for God. But when you actually sit down and talk to them, and you find out, they don't know who they are in Jesus Christ. And I shared this with our regional directors in Australia at the start of this year. And boy, I tell you what, it was a heavy message. I shared almost like I preached, but I didn't really. I watched the video the other night, and my wife said, "Wow, was that heavy or what?" And I said, "Yeah." But you know, God gave me that message for those guys, because our directors, and I say this with due respect to each one of them, I love them dearly, and myself, every year, we need to go back and rediscover who we are in Christ. Because we all get in this comfort zone. We all start to do things that we can easily do, and I can do that. And I want to tell you men something that might shock you. And I better be careful. Felt like a bit of a shock going to my foot then, actually. Must be something happening here. I remember my old pastor said to me some 10 years ago, we were talking about a major ministry that had fallen from grace. And I said to him, "I find that quite strange. International ministry," not mentioning the name, of course. And the pastor said, "Well, why?" I said, "Well, there were no signs, you know." And this pastor said something that I've never forgotten. He said, "Rod, you need to understand, within the body of Christ, a lot of ministries running around today could be not operating in the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and it would take the body 8 years to figure it out." I've found that to be true. And I'm not bagging anybody here. I'm just talking fact. You know, we've got to be careful, you see, because we can take our eyes off very easily. We can get into a comfort zone very easily. Let me be brutally frank with you. I struggle sometimes today to do my testimony at an FGB meeting. But as a national director, you see, if I go to an FGB meeting as a speaker at an outreach banquet, I have an obligation to share my testimony. I am not there to preach. I'm getting right off my notes here, Graham, but I'm going to go with God on this stuff. You said, I heard some of this last night. We've allowed too many people to preach, to use this as a platform to promote their ministry and what they do and to raise funds for India. And I'm all for that. I do mission work, a lot of it. But I don't use an FGB platform to raise funds for it. Matter of fact, a lot of FGB guys wouldn't even know what I do in Africa. They don't need to know. Or Malaysia or whatever. It doesn't matter. But you see, what we tend to do today, we allow them to preach a little bit like I'm doing now. This is not an outreach banquet. I'm talking FGB men, leaders in the fellowship. And we've had to put a real stops on this in Australia, Len. We've had to say to some international speakers, I mean international speakers, the next time you preach at an outreach banquet, you'll never come back to Australia again under the FGB banner on a platform. I've got to be honest, that's what we had to do. Because these guys, you would say, "Please do not preach. Please do not preach. We have secular people in this meeting today." What do they do? Preach a message for 40 minutes that you'd hear in your local church. Right? And people are getting up and walking out during that meeting and a guy still preaches. We got a problem, man, haven't we? Maybe it's just Oz. But we had to put a stop to that sort of stuff. But we've got local guys that do the same thing. I like what our brother said here this morning. As leaders, we have to take the responsibility. As a national director, I have to take the responsibility for that. But I tell you what, it's not happening anymore. But you see, I'm using this as an example. We all can get into a comfort zone. I remember going to a meeting only 2 weeks ago, and a local chapter meeting, business lunch, and they said, Rod, you know, we want you to share your testimony. And the guy that arranged the meeting came to me afterwards and said, Rod, now I know you do a lot of preaching these days and you're on the circuit here and there and whatever, but please, can you do your testimony? I said, you don't have to tell me. This is an FGB outreach event. Do you want a salvation testimony? You want a business testimony? You want a healing? You just tell me what you want and I'll do it. And I had to go to God on that. I tell you, I really did. Because I wanted to preach. But I tell you, I did a testimony. One guy there wasn't saved. He gave his life to Christ after the meeting. You see, if we do what we're called to do, then we get the job done. That's what he was told us this morning. But get off that track. So during this next few days, and I want to, especially in this session here, get you to know my DNA. Who am I? Where did I come from? Got to watch the time. I'm doing a testimony breakfast, I think, in a couple of days' time. But just a two-minute testimony. Brought up in a religious home. Crippled and dying by the time I was 21 years of age. Had to move to Adelaide. Found the Lord 25 years ago. Was in a comfort zone. Back in a transport business, which I loved. And then God put me into business 25 years ago. Today, we have a big business, and I thank God, of course. And so we can do what we do today for Him. But I tell you something. I certainly was stretched every inch of the way. Even today, I'm stretched every inch of the way. We could have sold that business many times over and gone into full-time ministry. But the Lord said, no, that's not what I've called you to do. I've called you to impact the nations. And I don't say these things lightly. Men, because we're all called to impact the nations. Not just Rod Winter, not just Graham Eagle. And I'll talk about that in a minute. So that's my brief testimony. But I want to share for the next 10 minutes about a winning team. Because the theme of the conference is, come and join the winning team, Graham. Not just in Napier. In Invercargill. Well, FGB. No. A champion team. Let me make a couple of statements to you. A champion team will always beat a team of champions. Now, you've probably heard that saying. Let me repeat it, because we need to understand it. A champion team will always beat a team of champions. Let me use an example. I obviously follow AFL. You here do that other funny game. Well, I knew I'd get a comment. Well, yeah, I heard that. But you know, in Australia, what we've done, you know, we all know AFL was birthed out of basically Victoria. And of course, now it's a national competition. But every now and again, they try and put another affiliation competition on where they have they'll bring all the state team together to play against one of the premiership teams. And you know what I've discovered? Interesting, that state team, even though it has all the who's who of all the teams, can't beat the championship team that won the grand final the year before from one club. And Geelong at the moment is a premier team in Australia, as for those who follow the AFL. And one day I love sport and I love football, and I believe there's an analogy we can learn, and certainly we can learn a lot from football and sport in general, especially with discipline and the way they train and equip themselves. And I was watching these fellows, and I saw this footballer get the ball, and he picked it up, and he sent a handball over his head to nobody. But in a split second, one of his guys was behind him, took the ball, ran, bounced the ball, kicked the goal. As soon as he got that ball, his mate knew he was going to handball over the top. And I can use a lot of other examples. But I'm using that one for this reason. If you watch a champion team, they do what we call freaky things. But I tell you, a lot of the time, it's just instinct, natural, born in them. They work together. They train together. And those guys, when you actually sit down and talk to some of these champion athletes, and what do? They spend a lot of time hanging out together. Not just on the track. Socially, together, the coffees, they're communicating all the time, very close-knit. And I always believe that. A champion team. What I believe is this. Champion team, of course, is a winning team. I want us to, just for a minute, 5 minutes, I want to focus on our team. Is this all right? Talk about our team? I'm a team player. Let's look at our commander. Who's our commander-in-chief? Pretty simple, isn't it? Let's look at our commander-in-chief. You know, we play in the AFL, they pay the coaches now millions of dollars to coach them. But let's look at our commander-in-chief, Jesus. Inconvincible, untouchable, unstoppable, you know, what names, you know, the name just goes on. That's our commander. Do you think we've got a good person in charge? Huh? Could we get anybody better? No. Good. At least two of us agree. Let's now narrow it down a little bit to FGB New Zealand. Let's look at our chief of staff or chiefs of staff at FGB New Zealand. Some in this room, some I know personally. I would say this to you. They are called and anointed by God for the task. Would that be a good statement? You know that, men, probably better than I do. But I know they're called of God, they're anointed of God, appointed, and they're going to get the job done. Let's look at our leaders. I believe FGB leaders, our men, are trained and equipped by the Holy Ghost. What better teacher? Talk about it this morning. Trained and equipped by the Holy Ghost. 25 years of ministry. I've sat under some wonderful, wonderful ministers of the gospel, I tell you. But you know what I found the best teacher? Was the Holy Ghost. When you're out in the boondocks of Africa in Sudan, let me tell you something. When you're thinking in one of those smelly huts and they're made of cow dung and everything else, right? And I tell you, you can't sleep because of the rats and the scorpions and all that stuff, right? And then the guns are going off and all that stuff too as well. And then you've got to get up and address people that are worshippers of animism and whatever. I tell you, I don't understand the culture. I don't understand the people. Half the time my interpreter doesn't even understand me. It's not because of my accent, don't you say anything. But I tell you this, the Holy Ghost equips me, trains me, and gets the job done. I believe our leaders are trained and equipped by the Holy Ghost. I really do. And I know a lot of FGB guys around the world, I'm telling you. Let's look at our members. In Australia, we call them partners. I get a bit emotional. You have to forgive me. I'm an Aussie, but we did get emotional down in Aussie. Who said that? I want to tell you guys, I'm going to share a couple of deep things with you. And I don't share this. I haven't shared it anywhere, actually. This is the first time. I was in Gallipoli last year. I never wanted to go to Gallipoli, really, until a couple of years ago. But I went to the war graves up in Port Moresby. And God broke something in me. I was there looking at those rows and rows of graves. And I started weeping. And I said to the Holy Ghost, because I'm an Aussie guy and I'm a man and I don't cry. I was brought up a kid. You do not cry. Especially when another man's there. And all these friends are with me. And I'm weeping. And I said to the Lord, why am I weeping? I never knew these men. And the Lord said this to me. Because you've now got a revelation of right of who these people actually were. They were people that believed so much in the cause, they didn't even know you, but they died for you. The same as Jesus died on the cross. If these guys literally lay their life down, that you would have freedom to be in this place to preach the gospel today. And I kept crying, I tell you. And I went home crying. And I rang my mum up and said, Mum, I'm marching on Anzac Day. You get the medals, Pop's medals out, I'm going to her dad. He was in the 9th Light Horse, I want to tell you. And then I started to read about the 9th Light Horse. I started to read about my grandpa. And then when I heard Cole Stringer talking about the 9th Light Horse, the light went on, boom. And I started to understand about the Anzac spirit. I tell you, something went on inside, you know. And all of a sudden I started praying, and all of a sudden God started to give me more revelation. And then I said to Lorna, we're going to Gallipoli. She said, why are we going to Gallipoli? I said, because I want to go where the Anzac spirit was born. Where that's where it started. And I tell you, we went to Gallipoli. And it's a bit of a feat, actually. My wife, I thank you for going, because you've got to get shipped in there, you know, the night before, and you've got to stay up there all night with all those young radical kids. That's another story. I want to tell you, God did something to me about those radical kids that I used to condemn and say, man, look at these guys. What are they hanging out? They're on drugs. They're this and that. And what, you know, it's easy for us to do that. But these young kids, there's 8,500 of them. All right? And they had stayed up there all night, and they'd been in their sleeping bags, and they had the tattoos on them, and they had the flags wrapped around them. But I tell you what, when dawn broke, and I'm going to get excited about it because I can still, I'm back there, I'm telling you. When dawn broke, and I tell you, it's the most eerie feeling. It is colder than even Invercargill, Graham, believe it or not. And we've been standing up all night because there's nowhere to sit. And we're freezing. And then as the mist starts to come up off the sea, and then there's so much silence, because it's all of a sudden at 4:30, sorry, 5 o'clock, there's silence. And you hear the wave lapping on the shore. And it's the most eerie feeling. And it's almost like you know it's the Holy Ghost, but you can sense just the spiritual atmosphere starts to change. And you can't hear a pin drop. There's 10,000 people. Can you imagine 10,000 people? They've been standing there all night in the freezing cold. And that guy, when they say, we want silence, you can hear the wave lapping on the shore. It blew me away. And then the bugle goes, and I start crying again. And the day before, I've been crying as we walk through all the graves, all there. And when you stand on the beach and you look up, and when they landed on that day, there was no trees, there was no shrubs, there was just nothing but bare soil. And they were just cannon fodder. They just got mowed down in the hundreds and the thousands. And they tried to get up the valley. So Shrapnel Valley was another one. And the Turks had the machine guns either side. They just mowed them down. And your guys, the Kiwis. I went to the service at Lone Pine. I'm getting goosebumps. I'm sharing it with you. I know I'm back there, you see. And they're at Lone Pine. They took it, the Kiwis. Only for a short time. And they got bombarded by their own boat because the communication was so bad. And I think that day the Allies lost 8,000 people on the top of that hill when the Kiwis took Schellenberg. And you see the trenches, and they were from here to there, apart. And God does something in you. And I came back, and I tell you, my life's never been the same since. I knew about the Anzac spirit. And you know that spirit's alive in each one of us. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. It is. I sense it here, Graham. I sense it. I sensed it last night. See, God's doing something. And you know, these young kids, these young punky kids that, you know, that do the drugs and do this stuff and all that, what? I tell you what, God's going to use them, and they're going to revolutionize Australia. I tell you, they will. Yeah, I always see Hillsong. That's a tip of the iceberg. Because these young kids are fearless. They will go, because I tell you, those kids are looking for a cause to die for. I tell you, I go into nations, I better be careful now, God's been taken. Where do Islamics go and do ethnic cleansing? That's a politically correct term. It's genocide. Because when you go and take 2 million people out in an island the size of the South Island, that's genocide. Right? Because they won't bow the knee to Islam. Right? You see, and we've got Aussies that are converting to Islam because they're looking for a cause to die for. I'm careful, I'm preaching now. We better be careful, guys, I tell you. Because they're smart people, those Islamics. And they're after our young people. You better watch it. The same as we've got to watch it in Aussie. And they're infiltrating, and they've got a stronghold already in Sydney and a lot of other suburbs. Huh? Auckland. Yeah. We better get those young ones, I'm telling you. Where am I up to? Don't know. So, our team. Got to watch the time. What about Graham? You tell me when I've got 5 minutes, please. Let me finish on this. I may talk about Anzac some other day. Who knows? But the Anzac spirit, I want to tell you, is alive and well. Our team, our FGB team, cannot be beaten. Men, if you haven't got a revelation of this, please take this from this meeting. Our team, the winning team, it is impossible for us to be beaten. And what is our prize? Let me ask you the question. What is our prize? What is our goal? I'll tell you what our goal is. It's to extend the kingdom of God here on earth and in heaven. And I want to repeat this, so I'm going to finish on this. To extend the kingdom of God here on earth and in heaven. We are unique. FGBMFI. Colin, we are unique because we are where God wants us to be in the marketplace. I heard a lot of prayers. I heard a lot of things being said about taking this nation, and I was one of them, brought a prophetic word, and I believe with all my heart that we will. But you will not take this nation for Jesus Christ until we take the marketplace. Sorry, it's the truth. And FGBMI, we are a marketplace ministry. And I've just come back from meetings in Africa. We've gone into nations now which have been totally decimated. But we've now, this time, instead of, we still do the crusade work, we still do the mission work, we do all those things, but we are now in the marketplace where the people, where the influence is. You want to change a nation, you change it from the top down. Let me tell you that. We've tried it in Oz. We've tried it. Let me give you a quick reminder. I've been a Christian for 25 years, and that 25 years I have seen us go backwards. I'm talking about the body. Less than 4% of our population now goes to church on a regular basis. Do you think that's expanding? No, it is not. 4%, Graham, that go to church on a regular basis. That's all. The Asians don't believe when I tell them. The Africans don't believe. They said, but aren't you a Christian nation? I said, we used to be. By faith, we will be again. Our churches, we're City of Churches, Adelaide? Yes. You have a look without. You've been there. Closing them down, one after the other. Nightclubs, offices, selling them off. Good real estate, almost for nothing. You think we got it right, the body? I'm telling you, we didn't get it right. Hey, I'm all for missions. I'm all for helping the drug addicts. I'm all for helping the prostitutes. All that stuff, we should do it, of course. But we are a marketplace ministry called and anointed by God to do what? To take the marketplace. How do we take the marketplace? Graham, I love this guy. I agree with you 100%, mate. We got to. Because right now, have I got another 2 minutes? Okay. I want to share this very quickly. I believe this. The anointing upon each one of you is very significant. You have a unique calling. Each one of you. Including me. To do what? To change the nation. Because we've got to understand something. There is a new spiritual conflict coming. If you haven't figured it out yet, you've got a problem. My Scottish friend would know what I'm talking about here. You better figure it out real quick. Because I tell you something, there's some deep spiritual stuff happening. You're right, Graham. I sense there's been a spiritual shift. There's been a spiritual shift within our fellowship within Australia. But it's came about because of 2 years of intense prayer. Guys, if you think you're going to do an outreach, I'm going to be careful, but if you think you're just going to walk into a city and do an outreach meeting, call a meeting, set it up, bring a speaker in, and get results, you've got to be kidding yourself. It doesn't happen generally. Why? I'll tell you why. Because right now, and I shared the prophetic word this morning about Invercargill, which is one. Every city has overruling spirits. Every city has dominion spirits there. We've got to understand where they are, what they are, and root them out. And then you go in. Churchill said, to win the battle, you've got to win it in the air first. We are no different. The day has come. And thank God, he is giving us strategies, keys, to do these things. But we've got to be smarter than what the enemy is. And we are. We've got the winning team. He's the winning team. I know there's some that can't be here, Graham. I appreciate that. But I'm looking here because God has called you here to this place for a specific purpose. Is to give you keys and strategies, what you already have, to take your cities and nation, and then the nations of the world. See, I've got to be honest. I wouldn't be here to do a convention. I wouldn't be here to do a meeting. I'm not interested in doing that. I'm here because God said, Rod, you come, because this is what I want you to share with these guys. Honor these guys as board, and the commitment of these guys, right? And you share what I give you to share. And I believe totally that this nation will be turned around. I believe it with my heart. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. And you guys, God is going to use to do it. And many of you come here, I know, saying, oh, I can't do that. That's not me. Oh, yes, you can. See, you can do anything if you choose to do it. Don't be like me. Put your hand up and say, send me, Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go. Don't do that. Not unless God really speaks to you about that. Because you end up in some weird places. Right? But you're called to this nation. That's why you're here. And I believe in all my heart that we're going to see radical change in this nation of New Zealand. Because I don't know too much about New Zealand, to be honest with you. I haven't studied it too much at all. But I sense that you are probably right now at a crossroad where we are in Australia. Where do we go from here? And God has given you the keys. The keys to do something to bring about radical change. And I'm going to finish on this note. Men, I used to believe, and I love FGB, I love this fellowship. I love everything about this fellowship. But I'm a kingdom guy first, eh? I love the Lord Jesus all my heart, and I'm a kingdom guy first. But this fellowship, you men, are not just called to make a difference. You are called, and you need to write this down. You are called to make a significant difference. You might think I'm playing with words. I'm not. We're all called to make a difference. But you are called to make a significant difference to this nation and the nations of the world, but more importantly, to extend the kingdom of God here on earth and in heaven. And I believe by faith, and you do as well, that we're going to do it. Every time they ask Demos this question, Demos, you need to understand we have this problem and that problem and this and that. And Demos says, would always say, do you have the Holy Spirit? Yes. Then go. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you have the Holy Spirit? Yes. So do I. Men, let us go forth and do what we're called to do. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for these men. I thank you, Lord, that you've called each one of them to this place, that you might reveal to them keys, strategies that you have for each one of us to extend the kingdom of God here on earth and in heaven. And Lord God, we thank you that you have chosen to use this anointed vessel for Gospel Bizmans Fellowship International for this part. You've called us to it, Lord. We're not here by accident or chance. You've called us to this organization, to this fellowship. We thank you, Father God, for the anointings on the vision and of this fellowship. And Lord God, we thank you that we're going to walk from this place trained and equipped to do what we are called to do. And we thank you for the privilege in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heard Rod speaking anywhere, because when I go to conventions, he's normally up the front conducting and they've got other speakers, so it's good to actually sit down and listen to him. So we've got to know his heart over the years of going across to Australia and meet him up with in Asia from time to time as well. So